Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim, daf Memches. We got to the bottom of Mem Zayin and Mem Beis in the middle of the Mishnah, but we're going to back up and start again with the Mishnah toward the bottom of Mem Zayin and Mem Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and also Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Le'ashalom. We thank Dr. Landerer very much for his continued sponsorship of this shiur. So today we are going to cover primarily... Well, we're going to cover one Mishnah, which is going to take us until until the end of the Perek, until the end of the fifth Perek in Maseches Nedarim, and we're primarily going to cover two topics. So the first topic that we started seeing yesterday is what happens if you have these two people who are Mudur Hana'ah against each other, meaning that neither is allowed to benefit from the other. The question is, are they allowed to benefit, or each of them allowed to benefit from what I would call community property? Let's say if there's a property that is widely owned or property that is owned by a certain community, are they allowed to benefit? Or do we say that since each of them has a shutfus in the property that the other guy is using and they are not allowed to benefit from the other, that they are not able to benefit from each other? Then the Mishnah is going to tell us what one should do, an Eitzah, for the way one could get around that type of neder hana. If you have two people in a community who take a neder that they're not able to benefit from each other, let's say the Mishnah uses an example of a Beis HaKnesses. A Beis HaKnesses is something that it's considered that each of the residents of the town have a portion of ownership in the Beis HaKnesses. So if Reuven and Shimon each take a neder hana that they're not allowed to have a hana from each other, and they live in the same town, the problem is, l'chora, neither of them should be allowed to go into the shul, because both Reuven and Shimon have some sort of ownership, chelek, some sort of portion of ownership in the shul, and the Mishnah is going to give us some Esa, that they could be mafkir to the Nasi, they could convey their share, their ownership share, to somebody else as a means of getting around this prohibition to benefit from the other. And then the Mishnah that we're going to get to towards the middle, or towards the bottom rather, of Mem Chesem and Aleph, is going to talk about what happens if you have a neder hana'ah against somebody else, and that person is in dire straits. That person is in desperate need for food, or let's say you have, the Mishnah is going to talk about, you have a guy who made a neder that his father is never going to be able to have hana'ah from him, and then his son is getting married, and he realizes it would be really, really unfortunate and very sad and dysfunctional to make a wedding without having his own father, meaning the grandfather of the chassan, at the wedding. So he tries to do some shtick to get around the neder hana'ah, because after all, he was neder that his father is not allowed to have hana'ah from him. So the Gemara ensuing is going to tell us the scenarios in which these types of tricks work or not. So we're gonna have to see a lot about that heading into the end of the perek. So again, we will pick up again four lines of Chazara from the Mishnah at the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah as follows: Hareini alecha cherem. If a person says, I am to you a cherem, in other words, that you are not allowed to have hana'ah from me, I am like cherem to you. The Ran says that we're talking about somebody who makes the neder in Galil. You recall earlier in the Masechta, we had reviewed the various lashonos of nedarim, and we had said that whether you interpret a lashon to be a lashon of neder and a lashon of iser is going to depend in certain circumstances where in Eretz Yisrael you are. So we had said that if you have somebody who's in Yehuda, if you have somebody who's in the part of Israel, which is right near the Beis HaMikdash, when the person says cherem, he may not be referring to cherme shamayim, he may not be referring to something which is consecrated, he may be referring to cherme kohanim, to the property of kohanim, because in Yehuda, there were a lot of kohanim there, and therefore when he says cherem, lavdavka, not necessarily does he mean to aser it on somebody, because cherme kohanim is simply property of kohanim, which is mutter for the Kohanim to use. But says the Ram, we're talking about somebody who's in Galil, therefore the people in Galil are not really familiar with Cherem Kohanim, so when this guy says Cherem, we can be assured that he means Cherem in the sense of Isser. So, Areni Alecha Cherem, again, Reuven says to Shimon, I should be like you, a Cherem, meaning you, Shimon, can't get benefit from me, Hamudar Asser, the one against who the Neder is taken is Asser. Hare Atalai Cherem, if Reuven says to Shimon, I am not allowed to get hana'ah from you, then hanoder asur, then the noder is the one who is going to be usher. The noder, the one who takes the neder, is the one who's going to be usher. Hareini alecha v'atalai, if the neder goes both ways, if the guy says, I'm not allowed to get anah from you, nor are you allowed to get anah from me, then shteim asurim, then they're both usher to get anah from each other. This is all very intuitive. This is Nedarim 101. Ushneim mutarim b'davar shalol lebavel. However, the Mishnah said that they're both mutar in the Dvarim shalol lebavel. What are the Dvarim shalol lebavel? The Mishnah is going to tell us what they are immediately, but right now the Ran clues us in, Shef Kirim Ole Bavel Akal Yisrael, that the Ole Bavel, the people who went from Bavel, were mafkir these types of properties to everybody, and because it's considered that everybody in Klal Yisrael has a chelek in these properties, it's not as if he's really benefiting from the other guy if he uses this davar shel ole bavel. And what are they? And vasurim v'davar shel osair. Turning to Mem Chesem and Aleph, the Mishnah tells us that it's usur to use dvarim shel oso ha'ir. In other words, unlike ole bavel, which is considered to be ownerless, which the Ran said that the Ole Bavel were mafkir to all of Klal Yisrael, Dvarim shel oso ha'ir are owned by each and every person in the city, and meaning that each of these people who the other is not able to benefit from has a chelek in the Dvarim shel oso ha'ir, and therefore it's going to be usur for both Reuven and Shimon to get anah from the Dvarim shel oso ha'ir. So we have two concepts in the Mishnah. We have Dvarim shel Ole Bavel and Dvarim shel oso ha'ir. And now the Mishnah is going to tell us what the distinction is between the two. Says the Mishnah, Ve'ezeh davar shel ole bavel, what are dvarim shel ole bavel? Kagon harabayis v'arzoros, harabayis v'azoros, v'abor shebem saderech, and a bar in the middle of the row that everybody was mafkir, so that people who are traveling could fill water from the well. So it's interesting that that the dvarim shel ole bavel are gonna be mutter. Well, first let's just see what dvarim shel oso ha'ir are, and then we'll come back to this law. Veza davar shel oso ha'ir, and what are the dvarim shel oso ha'ir? Kigon arachava, like the main street, v'amerchatz, and the bathhouse, the beis hakneses, v'ateva, and the teva, which in our parlance is a bima, v'asfarim, and sifrei Torah. Okay, so it's interesting that by dvarim shel ole bavel, we had said that the ole bavel are mafkir them to all of Klal Yisrael, and therefore these people are allowed to benefit because it's like considered that they're owned by all of Klal Yisrael, whereas the dvarim shel oso ha'ir, they're not allowed to benefit from because it's considered that each and every person in the city has a chelek in the item. So the question is, why is dvarim shel ole bavel different than dvarim shel oso ha'ir? In both cases, lechora, a large number of people have a chelek in the item. So if by dvarim shel oso ha'ir, Reuven and Shimon are not allowed to get anah because each of them has a chelek in the item that is owned by the city, why are they able to benefit from the ole bavel, from the dvarim shel ole bavel? Lechora, they're both members of Klal Yisrael, and therefore both of them also have a chelek in those types of things. So Tosfos explains that for example, one of the dvarim shel ole bavel is a bar b'emtza derech, that the bala bar is mafkir the bar to all of Klal Yisrael, and when the person was mafkir the bar to all of Klal Yisrael, the reason that he was mafkir the bar was for the purpose of permitting everybody to fill up their water from the bar. So it doesn't make sense that if a person is being mafkir an item so that everybody can benefit from it, it doesn't make sense then that one person wouldn't be able to benefit from it because one yokel took a nether that he's not going to be mahane some other guy, and that the other guy took a nether that he's not going to have enough from the first guy. So it makes sense, therefore, that everybody should be able to benefit because the stipulation for the intent and the stipulation behind the hefker was that everybody should be able to benefit and not that people should be prohibited. Now, the Rosh explains that the reason that the people are allowed to benefit from the Dvarim shel ole bavel are because the Dvarim shel ole bavel are considered to be that you're benefiting from all of Klal Yisrael. and not from each and every individual within Klal Yisrael, but it's Klal Yisrael as a Klal, as opposed to a community-owned item where we don't view it as the community as a whole, where we view it as you're benefiting from each and every person in the actual town. And so therefore, the Mefarshim struggle with why that should make a difference, right? In other words, there's an entity called Klal Yisrael, there's an entity called all the Jews in the city. So why is it different between Klal Yisrael and all the Jews in the city? And so some of the Mefarshim come to the fact that it depends on the degree of Hana'ah that each one is getting from the other person. So if you have a shul where there are 50 balabatim, and Reuven and Shimon say that they're not allowed to have Hana'ah from each other, and both Reuven and Shimon have an ownership share in the shul, so the Hana'ah that Reuven and Shimon are getting from each other if they use the shul is somewhat significant because there are only 50 owners to the shul. Whereas the Dvarim Shalolei Bavel, if they're mufker to all of Klal Yisrael, there are millions of members of Klal Yisrael, and therefore the degree of Hana, the level of Hana that you're getting is not going to be as profound. Okay, so that's the way most interpret the distinction between the Dvarim Shalolei Bavel and the Dvarim Shel Oso Ha'ir. Okay, and then the Mishnah says Vakosev Chelko Lanasi, and somebody who writes a chelek to his share to a nasi. So the Gemara is going to ask, what does it mean? What is the fact that somebody writes a chelek of his ownership to the Nasi have to do with anything? The Gemara is going to tell us that this is a way of getting out of this prohibition. In other words, if you have Dvarim Shalosu Iyar, Reuven and Shimon make a nether that they're not allowed to benefit from each other. They both live in the same city, so they both dominate the same shul, and they both use the same merchatz, etc., etc. So what should they do if they want the other to benefit from the item? So what they could do is they could give over their ownership share in the item to the Nasi. So now, instead of Reuven owning a chelek in the shul, the Nasi will own Reuven's chelek in the shul, and therefore Shimon will allow to benefit from the shul. He'll be allowed to benefit from the shul. Rav Yehuda says, Echa kosev l'nasi, v'echa kosev l'hediot. The point is, you just have to make sure that you don't have any ownership in it. In other words, if you're Shimon, and Reuven is not allowed to have anah from you, and you want Reuven to be able to go into the shul, you have to make sure that you are conveying your ownership share in the shul to somebody else. Could be the Nasi, could be a private individual, doesn't matter, but you just have to make sure that you're giving up your chelek in that item. So says the Gemara, Mabin Kosev L'Nasi L'Kosev L'Hediot. If the same halacha applies, whether you're Kosev L'Nasi or whether you're Kosev L'Hediot, what then is the difference between Kosev L'Nasi and Kosev L'Hediot? Shakosev L'Nasi ain't Tzarech L'Zakos, L'Hediot Tzarech L'Zakos. That if you write the item over to the Nasi himself doesn't have to make a kinyan on the item in order to be konet. Whereas if you write it over, if you convey it to a private individual, the private individual does have to make a kinyan in the item in order to be koneh. So the Mishnah is teaching us the path of least resistance. If you want to convey your share of ownership to somebody where there's not going to have to be a maisa zechir or a maisa kinyan, just get over to the nasi. It's much easier that way. And the Chachamim say, no, both of them have to be mizakeh. In other words, both of them have to make a maisa kinyan. The reason that we're talking about a nasi is because that is what happens most of the time. In other words, that is the most prevalent type of scenario. Now, why? Because Mistama, the Nasi, is not going to be a vindictive sort of guy who in turn is then going to make a nether that other people can't get enough from him, right? The risk is that if Shimon is conveying a share in the Beis HaKnesses because Reuven can't benefit from him and he wants Reuven to be able to come into the shul, so he's going to give over his chelek to Levi. Levi's also a private citizen. Levi also has, shortcomings, and Levi also maybe has a hot temper, and Levi also maybe deals with Reuven, so maybe Levi's now going to make a nether that Reuven's not allowed to have enough from him, or even worse, maybe Levi's going to make a nether that Shimon can't have enough from him, and then Shimon is going to be messed over. But if you give it to the Nasi is a public figurehead. He generally is not making nedarim against people, and therefore the practical solution is to give it over to the Nasi. Okay, and the and so just one point that we should come back to that when we had been giving examples of dvarim shaloso ha'ir, we had said a beis haknesses, a merchatz, a teva, svarim. So svarim are sifrei Torah. So the question is, even if a person takes a neder that he is not allowed to have anoah from somebody else, why would he not be able to have anoah from sifrei Torah just because his friend owns a chelik in the sifrei Torah? Learning Torah is a mitzvah, and mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. So the Mefarshim explained that there is a difference. Yes, mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu, in the sense that you are performing the action because it's a mitzvah, and not necessarily because it gives you benefit. So, but either there could be a distinction between hana legabe nedarim and hana legabe halacha, or there could be a distinction between the hana that one gets from limud Torah and the hana that somebody gets from any other mitzvah. So in other words, that for example, if you're going into the mikvah, but the mikvah happens to be cool and it's a very hot summer day, so even though there's a mitzvah to be tovel, and we're going to say mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu, I mean, obviously you are getting some sort of benefit. And we see that you do get that benefit from limud Torah. For example, on Tisha B'Av, we're not allowed to learn Torah because we get such a hana and a simcha from learning Torah. Aye, mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. Elamai, learning Torah is different. Just intrinsically, it gives a lot of hana. Okay, and then the chiddush over here, the Ran says that the chiddush of giving the item over to the Nasi is not only that by conveying your ownership interest, by Shimon conveying his ownership interest, Reuven is allowed to go into the shul. The chiddush is that even after Shimon conveys his ownership interest to the Nasi, Shimon himself is allowed to go into the shul. So one might think that looks like a harama, right? Like Shimon uses the shul because he has an ownership chelik in the shul, and now Shimon is giving over his chelik to the Nasi. So I might think that looks like a joke, it looks like a trick. But says the Ran, no, the chiddush is that Shimon is allowed to still continue using the shul. Now Rav Yehuda Amar, Ein Anshei HaGalil Tzrichim Lichtov Shekvar Kotzvu Avaseyim Al Yadayim. That the Anshei HaGalil don't have to write over their nechasim to the Nasi because their forefathers already have given over the chelek on the forefathers have already given over the chelek on their behalf. Okay, so says the Gemara as follows. Actually, before we get to the Gemara, we'll just point out that the Ran says that our whole Mishnah is not lahalacha. Why is our whole Mishnah not lahalacha? Because we paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who says that if you have shutvin who are noder hana from each other, and there is a chatzar she'ein bo din chaluka, if there's a chatzar she'ein bo din chaluka, we saw the sheet of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is that each of the shutvin is allowed to walk into the chatzar she'ein bo din chaluka midin breira. Because when each of the shutfin walk into the chatzar, he's allowed to say, I'm not benefiting from your portion of the chatzar, I'm benefiting from my portion of the chatzar. Now, Beis HaKnesses has a din of a chatzar shein bo din chaluka. So, if we paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and the Ran says, we do paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, say if we paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that the halacha is that a person is allowed to walk into a chatzar shein bo din chaluka because of the din of Breira. So if you have a Beis HaKnesses, which has a din of a chatzar shein bo din chaluka, even if Reuven and Shimon were noder anah from each other, why would they not be able to walk into the Beis HaKnesses? Reuven could say, when he walks in, I'm not walking into Shimon's chelek, I'm walking into my own chelek, and vice versa. So the Ran says, therefore, our Mishnah is not kalacha. The Rishonim struggle mightily to explain the Shita of the Rambam, who both paskins like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and also paskins like our Mishnah. So in other words, why would there ever be a scenario where you have to give over your chelek to the Nasi in order to let Reuven come into the Beis HaKnesses if the Beis HaKnesses also is like a chaser shema din chaluka? We paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov that we hold from Breira. So big kasha according to the Rambam. Okay, so says the Gemara now. So amai mister. So says the Gemara, I don't understand that I read the Mishnah. We're talking about that if a person is not allowed of anah from somebody else, and they both live in the same community, then they shouldn't be able to benefit from communal property, from community property. So what's the eitz? The eitz is, so one of them should give it over to the Nasi. But that's not the way the Mishnah read. The Mishnah read that there's a difference between Olei Bavel and Dvarim Shel Olei Bavel and Dvarim Shel Oso Ir, that Dvarim Shel Olei Bavel are going to be Mutter, Dvarim Shel Oso Ir are going to be Aser, and Akosev Chalko L'Nachri, that Akosev Chalko L'Nachri We think, the Gemara says, means that Chosev Chelko L'Nachri also is Aser. Says the Gemara, Amai Mister, why would it be Aser if you're writing your Chelek to the Nasi? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes, no, because you have to interpret it the way we read it when we saw the Mishnah. Hachik Tani Umat Hakanasan. What is the takana if Reuven and Shimon are not allowed to benefit from each other and they both live in the same city and they both daven in the same shul and they want each other to be able to go into the same shul? Yichtov chelkam l'nasi. You should write your chelek over to the nasi. We're going to skip the parentheses because the Agos Fitzunim say it's all extraneous, and in fact, it is simply redundant of what we said in the Mishnah about whether you should write it over to the nasi or whether you could write it over to anybody else as well. And then we saw the Mishnah concluded with Rav Yehuda. The Rav Yehuda Omer Ein Anshei Hagalil Trichin Lizkos, that the Anshei Hagalil do not have to write over their property to the nasi. Shekvar Kosfu Avaseim Al Yedeim, because their forefathers already wrote their property over to the nasi. So says the Gemara, Tanya, Rav Yehuda Omer, Anshei Hagalil Kantaranim Hayu, they were very short-tempered, Vayu Nadronin Ana, Zemizan, they would very routinely be Nodar Ana from each other. Amdu Avaseim V'Kosvu Chakeim L'Nasi, and therefore their forefathers decided that they would just convey all of their interests in community property to the nasi, and therefore they wouldn't have to do this routinely whenever any of them made a neder, because they were always making these types of nedarim, and therefore it was just easier to convey their property to the nasi from the outset. Okay, says now the last Mishnah in this parak. Hamoder hana michavero. If somebody is muder hana from his friend, in other words, Reuven says that he is not allowed to benefit from Shimon. Vein lo mayochal, however, Reuven now is destitute. He doesn't have anything to eat. So noson leacher, and Shimon has food. Shimon wants to help support Reuven. The problem is, Reuven made a neder that he's not able to have hana from Shimon. So what should happen? So noson leacher, so Shimon could give his food to Levi, l'shum matana, as a matana. And then Reuven is allowed to be nene from the food, because the food is no longer owned by Shimon. The food is now owned by Levi. Maisa becha beBeis Choron. There was a maisa by somebody in Beis Choron. Aviv nuder amenu ana. Others have a girsa muder amenu ana, that his father was muder ana from him, meaning his father was not able to benefit from him because he took a neder that his father can't benefit from him. But Yamasi has beno, and then this guy was marrying off his son. Firmer lechavero, and he said to his friend, Chatzer v'suda nesunin heinach lefanecha, that the chatzer and the suda, the wedding hall and the wedding feast, are all given to you as a matana. Ela kedei sheyavo abba v'yochal imanu besuda, with a stipulation that I want you to invite my father and I want him to participate in the wedding feast. Because this guy was beginning to feel like a moron, that he was no dare, that his father shouldn't have anah from him. He wanted his father to be able to be at the wedding that he was making for his son, i.e. the father's grandson. So he gave the wedding feast and the wedding hall over to somebody else, or he tried to, on the condition that this guy invite his father. But the guy outsmarted him, because he said as follows. So he said, Im Shaliyim, if they're really mine, Areim Mukdashim Lashamayim, then I am going to be Maktish all of this food Lashamayim, meaning I'm gonna make it hektish, and nobody is going to be able to be nene from it. So Amarlay, Nasati Lakha Shalisha Tekdisham Lashamayim. Well, you think I'm giving you all of this wedding hall and the wedding fee so that you should turn around and make it hektish? No, I want the wedding. The only reason why I'm giving it to you is because I want you to invite my father. I can't invite my father because I was no der that my father shouldn't have enough from me. So says the Mishnah Vayter. So Amar lo nasati li eshalcha ella shete ata vi avicha ochlim v'shosin misratzin zela zevi avon toli barosho. That what then? You were giving all of this stuff to me so that you should be able to get around your neder, and that you and your father would be sitting and enjoying and celebrating at the same wedding feast, and the avon is going to be nitle al rosho. So there are two girsos here. One says al rosho, that your father is going to violate, because if one is not allowed to have hanah from the other, and they have hanah, and they do have hanah, then the isser is born by the muder, not by the noder. The isser is born by the subject of the neder, not by the noder. The other girsa, which I thought was the poshup shot, is that by rosho, he's referring to himself in third person, right? He's like saying, you're making a mockery. In other words, you're not allowed to have your father because you took a neder. So what you're doing is you're trying to make me the bad guy. So you're trying to do this bogus conveyance of all the wedding to me. I'm going to invite your father. I'm going to facilitate this neder being violated. I'm going to bear the brunt of the punishment. Not going to happen. Samru chachamim kol matana she'en ishim ikdisha tei mekudeshes ein matana. Any matana where it does not fulfill the requirement that if the recipient of the matana wanted to consecrate everything at Tehekdish, he would be able to do so, is not considered to be a matana. Meaning, the guy basically smoked out the Baal Simcha. The Baal Simcha wanted to do this harama to try to get around the neder against his father. So he tried to give the whole wedding suda to somebody else. And the guy outsmarted him. He said, if it's mine, I'm going to be makdish everything. And this led to the whole conversation. And this shows that the matana was a farce. In order for the matana to be valid, it has to be a matana where the recipient can be makdish it. The Rishonim have a very difficult time with this because we know that there is a concept called matana al menas lahachzir. And a matana al menas lahachzir is considered to be a matana. Now, if you're the recipient of a matana al menas lahachzir, then you cannot consecrate the item. Because if you consecrate the item, it's usher forever, but you don't own it forever. You only own it for a specific period of time. So as a matana al menas lahachzir considered to be a matana, even though you can't be makdish it. So there are two ways of getting around this problem. One way is saying that the only time that we say by a matana that it has to be the type of matana that if you wanted you could be makdish it is by a matana that doesn't have a time-bound stipulation on it anyway. But if you do have a time-bound stipulation on it, then you know that you're only giving it as a matana for a specific period of time, and therefore it doesn't have to be the type of matana that you have to be able to be makdish it yourself. Others say that when we say that you can't be makdish a matana menas lahachzir, it means you can't be makdish at liolam, but for the period of time that you own the matana, of course you can be makdish it. If it's a matana menas lahachzir, if I give somebody something, if I give somebody a sefer as a matana for a week, the guy can be makdish the sefer and not learn a word from it all week, but at the end of the week, it's going to come out of hektish because he has to give me back the sefer. So that's the way the Rishonim reconcile our Mishnah with the concept of matana al menas lahachzir. Okay, says the Gemara now, Maisa Lister. So you're going to give me a Maisa. You're going to give me a Maisa Lister. So you, in other words, the Mishnah is inherently contradictory because the first part of the Mishnah said if Reuven makes a neder that he is not allowed to have enough from Shimon, and Shimon then sees that Reuven is starving and he wants to feed him, he could give his food to Levi, and then Reuven can eat the food from Levi. And then we have this case of the Maisa in Beis Choron, where the guy made the nether that his father is not allowed to benefit from him, and he wanted to make the wedding, so he tried to give the wedding feast to somebody else so that his father could come, and we said it didn't work. Now, the Ron points out this is not actually a stira, because obviously the two situations are different, but says the Ron, still, if you're going to give me a general category, like a general rule, that one way of getting around the neder is by giving something away as a matana, it would be very unusual to then turn around and give me an example of a scenario where the matana is ineffective. It would have been much more plausible and much more expected to give me an example of a place of a situation where the matana is effective, not where the matana is ineffective. Says the Gemara, Chzuri Mechzor Avachik Tani. So the Gemara says, well, something is missing here. Vim Ochicho Sofal Tchiloso Aser. Ah, so in other words, if Reuven is not allowed enough from Shimon, and Shimon sees that Reuven is starving and he wants to provide something to eat, Shimon could give some food to Levi as a matana, and then Reuven can eat the food that Levi now owns. And that type of matana is going to be valid. But if it's a type of matana where we know that it's a sham, where it's obvious that it's a sham, then it's not going to work. And on that, u'maisa nami be'beis choron, and there was a maisa in beis choron be'echad, where the person davi sofa mechiach atchilasa, where it was obvious that it was a sham, and therefore the maisa matana did not work. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava lo shanu elo de'amar le vehinan lefanecha ela kadesha yavo abba. The only time this doesn't work, where it's a chiach sofa atchilasa, is where the guy said that I am giving you my wedding hall and my wedding feast on the condition that you invite my father. Because he attached that condition, that stipulation, it was obvious that this is all a sham. However, Ella Aval Amarlo Shihelofanecha Shiavo Abba, but if he said that I am giving this to you, and by the way, I really want my father to be invited, then midaitcha have, then it's considered to be as if the recipient of the matana himself invited the father. So we're drawing a distinction between if he attaches the condition or if it's just a polite suggestion that the guy invite his father. However, there's another interpretation. Lishna achrina amrina la amarava lo tematama dermale veinan lafanecha. Don't say that the reason that it's usher is because he attached an express condition. But if he simply conveyed his entire wedding feast to somebody else and then said, oh, and by the way, polite suggestion, I'd really love it if you invited my father, then it's going to be mutter. Don't say that. Even if he said, oh, and I'd really love for you to invite my father, we're still going to be asur. My taima sudasan mochachas alav. Why? Because his suda is mochiach on him, says the Ran. It's obvious that this is a tanai gomer, because nobody in his right mind who would go through the cost and the expense and the time of preparing a wedding and then give over the wedding to somebody else. It's obvious that the reason that he's doing it is because he's attaching an express condition for the father to be invited, and therefore it's not going to be a matana. All right, turning over to Memchesim Abeis, Hu Gavra Davi Le Bra. There was a guy who had a son, Davi Shomet Kipi de Kisna, that he was a kleptomaniac. So he would steal bundles of flax. So Asrinu Lenichsei Alea. Then he said, you know what? My son is a wayward son. I am going to Asr my Nechasim on my son. He is not allowed to benefit from my Nechasim. So they said to him, well, bear in mind that if you say that your son's not allowed to benefit from your Nechasim, and if you say the Lashon of Bechaye Uvamosi, that means that he's not going to inherit you. And if he's not going to inherit you, then that means that he's not going to get anything from your Nechasim, nor is he going to be able to pass along your Nechasim to his children. And so they said as follows. So Amar Lei, V'yahavi bar barot servant b'rabbana mai, that, and if, what if your grandson, though, what if this wayward son's son becomes a big Talmud Chacham, so wouldn't you then want him to benefit from your property? Samar Lahon, so he said to them that Likne Hadin, Viavi Barbaret Servam Rabbanan Liknaya, that, you know what, you're right. So I'm going to provisionally give 50% of my nechassim to my wayward son. If his son turns out to be a Talmud Chacham, then he can then give it to his son, not benefit, because the son is not allowed to benefit from his nechassim. But if his son turns out to be a Talmud, if his grandson turns out to be a Talmud Chacham, then the son will give it to the grandson. And if the grandson turns out to not be a Talmud Chacham, then it's going to revert and it's going to go instead to the other son. This guy also had another son who was a halachic person who did not always steal. So he wanted to give basically this Yerusha, or this Matana is probably the better way of saying it, on condition. He wanted to attach conditionality to the Matana. So what's the halacha over here? So Amri Pumpadisoi. So the Pumpadisoi say that Kani Almanas Lahaknasu, that it's a type of kinyon almanas to give it to somebody else. But call Kani Almanas Lahaknos Lo Kani. And anything that you accept ownership of only for the purpose of giving it to somebody else is not going to be kone. Right, like the situation in our Mishnah, where the guy is getting the wedding feast only for the purpose of inviting the father, and we said it didn't work. But over here, the guy is giving a provisional matana to his son on the condition that it should go to the grandson if the grandson is a Talmud Chacham. So isn't that Kani Almanas Lahaknos? And Kani Almanas Lahaknos is not Kone. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman Amar, Kani, Rav Nachman says that it is Kona. In other words, you can give it on a provisional basis to your son on the condition that if the grandson is a Talmud Chacham, then it's going to go to him. How do we know that Kani Almanas Lahaknos is a good Kenyan? Does Sudra Kani Almanas Lahaknosu? Because Sudra, in other words, a Kenyan Sudra, a Kenyan Chalipin, is Kani Almanas Lahaknos. So how does a Kenyan Sudra work? A Kenyan Sudra is like a case of a Machlet Parah B'Chamor. That's like a Kenyan Chalipin. But let's not talk about as anybody who ever sold chametz to a rav knows that the way you affect the kinyan is by picking up a pen. So in the Gemara, and the lashon of the Gemara was always like a handkerchief. So in other words, if Reuven wanted to sell a piece of property to Shimon, there has to be a kinyan. But let's say they don't want to do nol gadur or paras. They don't want to do an actual kinyan on the property. So what they do is they convey the property using a handkerchief. Now, what happens when they use the handkerchief is like Reuven says to Shimon, here, take this handkerchief, and then he's koneh the land that Shimon has. Now, Shimon gives back the handkerchief to Reuven. Nobody expects, like, you don't walk away from Mechiras Chameitz stealing the rabbi's pen, right? Like, he uses the same pen for everybody. Everybody knows that you're going to give the pen back. That's koneh amanas lahaknos, but we see it as a valid kinyan. Samar Ravashi, uman lema lon de sudra itafas le lo matfis. Well, how do you know that it's koneh amanas lahaknos? Let's say this Pesach, Erev Pesach, when you go to the rabbi to sell your chametz, maybe if he has you do a kinyan with his pen, maybe walk out with his pen. Who says that you have to give the pen back to him? So says the Zaman Lemela, the Sudra Itafas Le Lo Matvis, for Ode, Sudra Kalman Yamas Lahaknos, for Kani Min Hashta, Halin Nixin, the Adin Leima Saikani, Lichiavi Babrat Sover Mirabanan. Also, Kinyan Chalipin is a totally different type of kinyan. By Kinyan Chalipin, one of the items isn't in front of us, so you're making the kinyan with something else, and the transaction is effective immediately. Over here, you are giving over part of your nechasim to your son on condition that if his son becomes a Talmud Chacham, then ultimately these nechasim should go to his son, meaning no kinyan is taking effect immediately, and therefore it's qualitatively different from a tzurva, from the case of kinyan chalipin. So the chiyavi hadar sudra lamare. So they're totally different. So Amar Le Rava Le Rav Nachman Vamatnas Beis Charon, but I the case in our Mishnah the Kani Almanas Lahaknasu, which is a case of Kani Almanas Lahaknos Velo Kakani, and it didn't work. So don't we see that any Kinyan which is Kani Almanas Lahaknos is not going to work? So Zimna Amar Le Mishum Desosa Machachas Alav. Sometimes he said, well, no, Manas Beis Charon, the reason that it doesn't work is not because it's Kani Amanas Lahaknos. The reason that it doesn't work is because it's a sham. In other words, like the Ran said, even if you're not going to use the Lashon of a very conditional type of matana, where you're giving it on condition that the guy invites your father, even if you're stop making a polite suggestion, the very fact that you're giving over your whole wedding suit to somebody else shows that it is a sham entirely. And others say, and sometimes he said in the name of Rabbi Lezer, that it's like the sheet of Rabbi Lezer, rather, that even Vitur is usur by a muder hana. In other words, says the Ran, what does Vitur have to do with this? Vitur means like a person is going, if a person is going to have hana from somebody else, he's not going to be, or if a person says that somebody is not going to have hana from him, he's not makbid on the types of things that everybody is just mevater on. He's not makbid on inconsequential hana. What type of inconsequential hana are we talking about here? None of this has to do with Vitor. We didn't mention Vitor the entire shir. It doesn't appear on the daf. So the Ran says, no. We were just using it as an example. Just like by Nadarim, there is a sheet of Rav Elazar who says that Vitor is aser b'muder hana, so it shows that there is a chumra in Nadarim. And therefore, by Maisa Beis Charon, by the Maisa in our Mishnah, where the whole transfer was to get around the neder, we're so machmer by a neder that the transfer is not going to work. But over here, maybe the transfer, and if this was also a case of a neder. So in other words, even though kinyan chalipin is going to work, and kinyan chalipin is a form of kani almanas lahaknos, by the case in our Mishnah and the case in this Gemara, because it's dealing with a neder, we're more machmer by a neder, and therefore it's not going to work. Says the Gemara now, Tanan, Amru Chachamim, Kol Matana, She'ina, She'im Mekdisha, Te'im Mekudesh, Eina Matana. Any Matana that is not a real Matana, meaning that it doesn't come along with the acknowledgement, with the understanding that if the recipient wants to be Maktish, it's going to be, he's able to be Maktish. In other words, it's really is, it's not going to be considered a Matana. Kol Asuye Mai, what does Kol come to include? Lavle Asuye HaMilsa, the Shadi Bikipi. Doesn't it come to include the case of this Gemara by the kid who was stealing flax that is not a legitimate Matana? Lo lasuya nishna basra deshmaitza derava. No, it comes to include the last lashon that we saw on Amud Aleph, meaning that even where the guy doesn't use an express condition that he's giving over the wedding feast on condition that the other guy invite his father, even if he stam says, I want you to invite my father, it's still not going to be a valid matana, because it is obvious that imikdisha lo hikdish, because it is obvious that it's a sham matana and it is not a bona fide matana. So whether it works or not is dependent on whether the thing looks like a bona fide matana. So this completes the fifth parak. Tomorrow, God willing, we begin the sixth parak on top of Mem Tes Aleph. Hope everybody has a wonderful day.